Another episode of our Daily Gun Show. I didn't start with all the production stuff, mainly because when I do my interviews, I'd like to get right into it. Guess I should turn off my own audio in the background. So tonight, we've got an interview. It is Monday. Each night we go live at midnight Eastern. Each weeknight, we have a different topic. And on Mondays, it's motivation to a activists for like behind the scenes, how to get it done, how other people are doing it. Whenever possible, I try to bring somebody on to chat about their activism. And tonight we have Edgar Antion from Guns for Everyone. I'd probably say butcher in the pronunciation. Apologize for that. But thank you for joining us.
No, absolutely. Thank you.
And then I'm trying to use the format of James Kalita, who was a great podcaster. I don't know if you know of him. He did a podcast out of order with James Kalita. I guess he got kicked out of some assembly somewhere. So he started doing a podcast and he would just bring on a Second Amendment activist and then just say, here they are, and leave them talk for 40 minutes. And I just thought that was neat because you would just get whatever was on their mind and it gave them an opportunity to chat about what they felt like and not whatever news of the day. And that's what I'm going to attempt to do here. So this is the first time I'm chatting officially with Edgar, although I've been listening to your podcasts and following your stuff. Like I was mentioning off air, I have shook your hand before, but we haven't actually chatted before officially. So this is our first chat. I'd like to give you the mic, ask you to, if you would, just introduce yourself briefly, but then I'm going to ask two major questions tonight. Why you do what you do and how you do it, how you get it done. And my goal with this style of interview is to give Edgar an hour to talk about why he does what he does and how he gets it done or how he's gotten it done over the years, so he doesn't have to stand up and take the mic himself. Edgar, I don't know if you guys have, I'm sure some of you have heard of Guns for Everyone, but the accomplishments are fantastic. 100,000 students in Colorado. These are free CCW classes. I think you said something like 11% of the CCWs in Colorado have been offered free through their classes. In addition, they do instructor development to bring more people on board to sort of franchise the concept. They've got a newspaper that goes out in real life, printed, that goes out to gun shops. They support or facilitate the Makers Match, which is a 3D printing competition. And I know I'm missing stuff. So that was the brief introduction for people who haven't met Edgar before. But now I'm not going to leave you hanging here, but I'll give you the mic and say thanks again for joining us. And if you would, give us a little information more about what you've done, who you are, and then we'll start asking how you did it or why you did it. Excuse me.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. So you kind of hit the high notes there, and that's great. My name is Edgar Antillon. I am an individual who decided at some point that the government requiring us to pay them and ask them for permission to defend ourselves was kind of stupid, right? So what we created was Guns for Everyone. Guns for Everyone really started kind of a little bit of a backstory for us. We started off as a YouTube channel providing parody type videos, making fun of gun experts. That's really where we started. Really started off as trolls, if we're being honest about this stuff. Kind of in the heyday of or the beginnings, I guess not the heyday, but the beginnings of YouTube, when these reviewers were coming up, and a lot of them just were douchey. So we kind of just were trying to parody that and be more of a funny and comedy style stuff. And then, unfortunately, in Colorado in 2012, we started hearing rumors of anti-gun legislation. So we decided to switch gears. We try to combine the comedy with the seriousness, but with the comedy, you lose a lot of the seriousness. And we kind of had a decision to make, and we felt that being a little bit more serious, we're still people who know us know that we're still funny, and we really don't care all that much. But we decided to continue with the seriousness, and part of that was the free concealed carry classes. And again, it's just a way for people to be able to participate in their Second Amendment, kind of at the lowest barrier, if you will, because it's pretty easy to show up to the class. And most people were thinking about it anyways that show up to the class. Some of them were on the fence. So this was just an easy way for us to continue that activism and continue that that protest against the government more than anything else. Along with that, we kind of created some friendships and developed some partnerships, and we've done some really cool stuff along the ways. Part of it has been the Makers Match, like you mentioned, which is designed for people, anybody who makes their own matches. It's a competition, just like USPSA or IPSC and that type of stuff, but designed for people that make their own firearms. So yeah, I mean, that's kind of the big thing with Guns for Everyone National. That's an alternative to the NRA. That's kind of the best way to explain it. We are a 501c3 on the national level. And what we do there is we provide training and also the competitions. Guns for Everyone National is really the sanctioning body for these competitions that we've held across the nation. Something that I'm really, really proud of is that we are providing, although it's growing slowly, but it's still growing, is providing that alternative to the NRA as far as certifications and competitions and just an overall alternative, period. So those are kind of the main things that we're doing at the moment.
Got it. So again, the big open-ended question for tonight is why. So this is a bunch of stuff that I think some people would say, I think a lot of people would agree, maybe a couple of people, I guess, you know, it's the internet. Some people would argue, but I think most people agree these are valid initiatives, but any single one of these initiatives would be like a committee or like a whole organization would, you know, you would think would need to be we needed to accomplish them. So the why is the big question, and I leave it open-ended.
Yeah. So the why is very, very basic, right? Just initially, it's just to protest the government. That's the biggest why. Protest this ridiculous requirement that we have from the government to take classes and then pay them, which is probably the worst thing. Not that I'm against, obviously, training and all of that. I mean, that's what I believe any responsible gun owner would do with or without government intervention, but it's the fact that the government is involved that we decided to protest it. And a big factor here in Colorado was really they were trying to take this away from college students. So they introduced a bill. They were trying to take it away from college students and
take away CCW.
Take away, yeah, the ability to carry concealed on campus. And so we decided to start doing the classes there and kind of see where that took us. And once we seen how successful that was, we figured we probably hit on a market that is very underserved, and that's people who one, financially cannot afford to pay an instructor, which I would probably at that time 100% classify me in that group of people who $150 typically for an instructor, and then $150 potentially to the government. That's a lot of money, $300. That's a tank of gas nowadays. So to those people, we offered the free classes, but also to a large populace that simply did not believe that this is something that we should be paying for. So that's the biggest reason. As we continued with this, we also started seeing a lack of quality training in the industry. And I know I'm going to piss off a lot of people when I say this stuff, but there's a lot of old information and a lot of outdated information. Some information that's not even outdated, it's just wrong from the beginning, that gets shared in the interwebs, and it gets shared by other instructors. So we kind of got on a mission of providing quality instruction as well. We didn't want these free classes to be that, oh, well, it's a free class, so what do you expect? No, we wanted this to be a free class, and holy shit, is it better than a paid class and then some. And that's often what we get is that comment is we've attended different classes, and this is by far the best one. And that's something that we're proud of. So that's another why is we want to make sure that it's not just a free class, that it's a quality, and in our opinion, the best concealed carry class that you're going to take out there. Because ultimately you're providing us with your spirit, you're providing us with your support, you're providing us with your time, which we can't replace, and that's super valuable. The time that students spend with us, and we don't take it for granted. So it's easy to kind of keep that as a main why now is providing that quality training. And then that's kind of where Guns for Our National kind of started growing. Is something that I've been thinking about for quite some time, and it's after meeting one of my very polarizing homies, and that's Rob Pincus, where the discussion about training and quality, fact-based, evidence-based training comes from, and we kind of took the leap and we brought him aboard to consult us on the training side of it for Guns for Everyone National, along with USCCA as well. That's another organization that we work with as far as training and certifying instructors. So those are kind of the main whys as why we do that. For the newspaper, one thing that we've seen lacking here in Colorado, and I don't see it as much in other places, I see it more here in Colorado, and it hurts my feelings to say this, but our culture, our gun culture here in Colorado just isn't very healthy. For a very long time, we were a state that was much more lenient than Texas when it came in terms of gun laws. I know Texas likes to think that they're the big boys on the block, but we all know they're pretty behind on quality gun laws. They're getting better. They're catching up. But Colorado for a very long time was better. Up until recently, we started going back, and the culture here, I think, just got used to just having good, okay gun laws, all things considered. Nothing egregious, no gun registration, no restriction on any real firearm. So like we had it good, but the culture just didn't exist. So the newspaper was a way for us to just get information out there, get information about instructors, events, groups, share thoughts amongst each other about training or ranges and reviews. So it's just a healthy way for us to all share information and provide it in a paper form. Because one thing that I've noticed in our classes is people like to read stuff. People may not like the mainstream newspapers, but a lot of people like niche newspapers, the community newspapers. Those type of papers are still growing strong in most communities anyways. So we decided to do that for that reason. And it's kind of double whammy too. I mean, I'd be lying if I didn't say we also, the advertisements that are in there help support the free concealed carry classes, because ultimately we want to expand that and make that available in as many states as we possibly can. So those are kind of the major why we do what we do. Outside of we're just passionate about the Second Amendment and freedom, which those are just the cliches, but yeah.
I'm muted so that I don't my background fans and stuff.
Oh, you're good.
Make a noise here, don't think. But I started leaving hanging there when I unmute. So I appreciate that. That's the whole point, is to give you some time to kind of develop the answer there. One thing we didn't, or you didn't hit on yet, so I'm going to ask you about this, and then we can start digging in, is the Maker's Match. So
I guess it's
sort of obvious but from what you mentioned, but specifically, yeah, the why and the Maker's Match.
Yeah, so the why for the Maker's Match is very simple, right? Like we started seeing a growing population of gun owners making their own firearms, the P80s, and it became readily accessible. For a very, very short period of time, Guns for Everyone had a retail spot. We had two retail spots. And the product that we started with was 80% firearms. So whether it be ARs or handguns, not just Glocks, but 1911s and that type of stuff. So we sold the jigs, and we would rent the jigs out to anybody who wanted to privately make their own firearm. Obviously with our connection with Pincus, he kind of got interested in doing all that stuff, 3D printing, and he hit us up. He said, "Do you want to do some competitions? You just started the 501c3. Part of the 501c3 is competitions. Let's do one for privately made firearms." So I was obviously on board. He's the director of that stuff. We're the sanctioning body. And the biggest why for that one is ultimately to provide a space for those who want to compete, but can't in USPSA, because USPSA doesn't allow privately made firearms. IPSC doesn't allow it. So a lot of governing bodies don't allow. So why not? Why not provide a space for what I quickly found out were just a bunch of nerds who wanted to make guns and probably more interested in designing guns than actually the gun itself, and provide a space for these people to compete with the firearms that they created. And once we did our first national and a few regionals, the why becomes even bigger, right? Because the why is, it's fun, man. It's so much fun to see a group of humans engineering firearms and creating designs and seeing all the crazy shit that these people come up with, and that adds to the why we do this. I'm one of these people that I have to admit I'm not big into privately made firearms, not because I'm opposed to them, but because I personally just don't have the an act for it, right? Like I'm not big on 3D printing. I'm not big on I just don't have the patience to sit there and file down and recreate a CAD and all that stuff. But it's super amazing to see that the level of engineering that a human can produce in 2022, and then just go have fun with these firearms. So that adds to the why. It was a space that didn't exist. We created a space, and not at this level, right? I have heard of other little small fun shoots and stuff like that, but we wanted to make it loud, and we wanted to be in your face about it. And a primary reason why we wanted to do it loud and in your face about it was we don't want to see what's currently happening right now, and that's an attack on privately made firearms. A good way of doing that is And I so appreciate that the Bruin ruling kind of said this is it's guns that are used. I forget exactly the verbiage that says it. Maybe you'll help me out here. But guns that are used frequently on a day-to-day basis, right? So if we make privately made firearms something that is normal, then it quickly becomes protected by that Second Amendment, because it's something that everybody's into, and it's something that somebody does every single weekend, and it's just a hobby, no different than tinkering with cars or motorcycles or building train stuff or whatever other hobby people have. So that was another reason why to have these competitions, just to to make it a big part of, in common use. I appreciate that. Make these objects no longer a taboo and something that every human being knows about, has access to. And a lot of people didn't want that. A lot of people kind of offered a little bit of that resistance, like, oh, the more you talk about it, the more people are going to know about it. And like, ding, 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 that's the issue, is we need more people to know about this. This is not bad. Bad people are not doing this. If you showed up to our first competition, you'd see very quickly how a firearm is not a good gun for self-defense. All the malfunctions we had that particular time was kind of crazy to see. But yeah, that was a big why for the Makers match.
Awesome. So I think, there's no answer to an open-ended question like that. So what I try to do is not interrupt you while you're going through there, but I do have a bunch of questions. I think going backwards then, any spillover, any crossover, whatever it is, between, for example, winners from the Makers match in the newspaper, any plans to, I'm assuming the newspaper mentions these things, but is there an overall strategy with the paper to use it as sort of a catalyst or a technique to get into more shops and then find more people that are interested, find more matches, you know, sort of that?
Yeah, right now we're in this weird time with the Gunmakers match, trying to figure out the new rulings and how people are going to navigate the new rulings. Some states are getting really, really crazy about their particular laws and flat out outlawing quote unquote uncivilized firearms. So that complicates things a lot for a lot of people that participate in stuff that, so we're trying to see how we navigate this stuff and be as efficient as possible, without getting people in trouble unnecessarily. You know, there's people that want to, get in trouble and then fight it in court. Guns for everyone and me personally, I'm all for that stuff, but I don't know that we want to make the gun makers match per se that one organization or one competition where we're just getting a bunch of people arrested just for the sake of getting people arrested. So we're trying to navigate that right now. But yeah, using the newspaper is definitely one of those avenues where we want to promote not just our stuff, not just our gun makers match, but promote the hobby in general. There's a lot of people in that hobby that maybe we don't agree with 100% on stuff, and maybe they would never participate in the gun makers match because they have an opposition of us being so public, but they still deserve a mention in the newspaper because of the work that they're doing in the space. So it's not just about promoting our stuff, although that is one way of doing it. And one thing that we do as well with this newspaper, whether it be instruction or classes, but we really want this to be for everyone, right? We want this newspaper to be promoting not just us as instructors or 2A activists or whatever hat we're wearing that time, but we want to give a voice to anybody else that might be in the same space or wants to promote the Second Amendment or is an activist. Or one of the things that we have in there is featured instructors, featured ranges. And as we grow and as we get bigger, then we can add featured activists and hopefully eventually get this to where it's nationwide to do just that, is promote not just what we're doing, but what other amazing 2A activists are doing around the nation.
Well, thanks everybody for putting in the link. I think I stuck a link in there that was bad, so everybody's throwing the better link in there for concealed carry for free. You've got a couple of websites. Is that just throwing this out of the left field? I guess I'm a website guy, so I noticed that. Is that because you like to have a broader net, so you're finding people differently from different websites, or is it just over the years they've come and gone, and some of them stuck around, or is there another reason?
No, it's a little bit has to do with the algorithms. So some of it was planned. The Guns for Everyone has evolved throughout the years. Like I said, we used to be more of a parody type website. So we had a lot of funny stuff, a lot of trolling blogs, and back when blogging was a thing. So we used to use it for that, and now GunsForEveryone.com usually is primarily just a landing page for our training and the Guns for Everyone National and all that stuff. So, but primarily for the training. So we use GunsForEveryone.com kind of just as the general. And then at some point, ConcealedCarryForFree.com was for the marketing, right? It was just you being a website guy, you understand the meta tags. And back then in the early 2000s, the 2010s and stuff like that, the meta tags worked a little bit differently, and the keywords worked a little bit differently. It's evolved, but that's really another reason why we decided to get concealedcarryforfree.com is to kind of hit those keywords and play with Google's algorithms a little bit more as well. So a little bit was for that as well. And throughout the years, it served us. It's been a benefit for us to have multiple websites so we can deliver information differently. So now with the Guns for Everyone, I can put the Gazette on there online and not have to worry about it kind of stepping over the, like saturating the training website. So it's benefited us on multiple fronts for reasons like that.
All right. I like that because, like I say, I'm a website guy. And one of the other things that kind of is in the same line is that how the humans are reading the internet back in the day, and people were getting online more. They were understanding it. But, you know, a website that made sense to them was a lot better than, I don't know, a bunch of letters, right? Just initials for something or something like that.
Correct.
So one of the other ones I was going to mention, I'm just going to put some questions in here along the way, but I'm glad I asked about the paper there, because I'm going to ask one more, I guess, before I get back to the first question. So you are interested, or you're in, there's room in the paper for contributions or people to contribute to it?
We don't have like a donation for the paper itself.
I meant like writing.
Yeah. Oh yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So as far as writing contributions, yeah, absolutely. We have an opinion section where we definitely do allow people to kind of come in and write an opinion, whether it be about stuff that we wrote in the previous edition. We do it once monthly, or if they themselves want to have a say on whatever the case may be, whether it be activism or training or a particular range that they want to kind of shout out. So we absolutely allow for that stuff.
Right on. Well, I'll definitely get with you here and chat about that because, yeah, that's super cool. I didn't really consider that, I guess, as I was checking it out. I just always assumed, I assumed that it would be like other projects I've seen over the years. So definitely glad that that we covered that. I was going to go back to the, I guess, Maker's Mansion, but 3D printing in general. And I mean, nobody can see the future. Obviously, you had your finger up to the wind and could tell that it was time to act sooner than later in the 3D printing realm for all the reasons you mentioned. And I'd say thanks for doing that. I don't know if anyone else has mentioned that, but obviously it was done. For people who weren't paying attention from the bird's eye view, they didn't know nothing about guns, 3D printed guns, 80% guns on the national scene. And then that kind of shifted here recently. So you guys setting that all up and having some time on the clock, definitely, you know, is better than coming in after the fact, right? So was that something... Well, I guess one of my questions is going to be, is that something where you had your finger up to the wind and you saw it coming and you figured, let's get it done before? it's easy to say that after, but I mean, I'm wondering if that was really part of it or if it was just, a super good timing. But I guess the other thing I'm just going to add in real quick is that, again, just thinking of gun ownership since the early 2000s or so, let's say since the end of the assault weapons ban, in that time, we've seen a lot more smaller companies come up to create small parts, either an accessory for a gun or different parts, customized parts, parts with different kind of finishes. So you see people that do ornamentation and, stippling and surfaces on the outside of guns, painting them and that kind of thing. Also parts being constructed out of, better designs or different designs. And all that stuff happened with the AR-15, with the Glock, with the 1911, with these platforms. Knowing that, I can't imagine anyone not understanding that the future is going to be some version of a either serialized or hopefully with the removal of firearms laws, then we'll just see, people buying a platform spec, and then almost every portion of it being designed for them. If they want a flat trigger or a whatever, some kind of hand measurement is going to create the frame, and the logarithm to their hand shape or something. They're going to squeeze on some clay and something's going to 3D scan that, and then their frame will be created the same way that earplugs are made. So, I don't understand why people wouldn't see that. Even if the store just prints out a 3D version for the person to verify, and then it gets created in real durable material somewhere else, although, really fast, that's going to just happen in the store and then eventually in our homes. That is the future of it. So then, the laws that keep that, the removal of laws that keep that free or that keep the government off our backs, kind of critical. I don't see us relying on giant factories making millions of items at a time and then everybody getting them home and filing them into the shape they want. That's just not the future of anything. So,
no, absolutely. And we 100% seen this happening, especially when we started our retail side, and we had that for a little bit. And one of the very first conversations I had with the ATF, which I knew I was going to have, I didn't have as many conversations as I thought I would with the ATF, but the very first one was them calling up and saying we couldn't do certain stuff. And obviously, we fought them on a few things and got clarification about other stuff. So we absolutely seen this come. I believe this was 2017, way before they were even looking at 80% lowers. So we were kind of already preparing. We just hadn't created the 501c3 at that time. So we were already in conversations about what the next steps were to kind of fight this and make it more known that these products exist. Because as I mentioned before, the more people are aware of it, the more people are involved with it. And when rules like this happen, like the one that's going to come into effect, what is it, Wednesday? The more people know about this stuff, the more we can fight it on the other side. When Trump did his anti-gun stuff, that was another red flag for us. So like, holy shit, this is only going to fast track and make it a lot easier for the next guy to take parts away from us and take materials away from us. And of course, a lot of the people that were on Trump's slob about that, they're like, no, that's not never going to happen. And here we are, right, with the ATF going to people's doors, allegedly, and taking their triggers and stuff like that. And a little bit had to do with Trump very proudly banning bump stocks, which was just an accessory. So we kind of seen it there, is how these 80% could be affected by something like that. Because ultimately these 80% are just plastic that you have to drill and you have to modify and you have to file down, you have to polish. 3D printed guns, kind of the same thing. You have to If anybody's ever done any 3D printing, period, you know, there's a lot of R&D going into it, a lot of frustration that goes into it, a lot of going back to the drawing board and all that stuff. So there's a lot to it. So, but we kind of seen this direction happening even a few years back before they even started thinking about that stuff. So we knew we had to do something. We knew we were going to do something. We just didn't know exactly what that was. And the Gunmakers match was probably the best way to get it out there and get the attention of the other side, if you will, with Vice News and Newsy, and getting some mainstream play with that stuff as well. Started a lot of good conversations, and it actually brought a lot of people that were unaware how it actually functioned to kind of our side from that stuff. So, but yeah, so, I mean, it's
go ahead. So Makers Match started in 2017.
No. That's just when we started noticing the changes.
Okay.
So that's when
we started. When was the first one then?
The first one was done in 2021. So it was it was last year. Okay. Yeah, 21.
But then, okay, and then the second question was, I'm trying to make some notes, so I'm just catching my notes up to date. You said the Vice News story. I totally forgot about that. So that was at the 2021. Was it the first match?
2021, yeah, that was the very first match.
Okay, so then you said there's also a Newsy. Is that another Vice type of?
Yeah, it's. I'm not gonna say they're fair. They're definitely.
But it gets the word out in a way that nobody else is. So it's a Vice-like though. It's some sort of like.
Yeah, Newsy is exactly. It is a Vice-like. Nowhere near as big. Nowhere near as important.
But different audience. Well, that's fine. And then that was also the 2021 event.
This one was this year's event. This one was the
awesome.
The one we had this year. So every year we try and have this year we actually had Chinese media there. We had Newsy. There was one other major outlet. I can't think of it at the moment, but we had three big outlets out there. Kind of
this
discussing.
Is in Florida also?
Yeah, this one was in Florida. Florida. Next year, we're planning for PA.
Oh, okay. Do you already have the dates for the 2023?
Kind of. We're just working out all the details. Like I said, these rulings kind of.
Oh, that's true.
And the changes in the laws in some states kind of held a few things back. Also, one of the sponsors of the event, JSD Supplies. I always get those mixed up, so I hope it is JST Supply. He's out of Pennsylvania. He very famously was raided by the ATF for this alone. He was selling the 80%, and they were telling him he couldn't do it. Ultimately, he was able to get a temporary restraining order against the ATF, and they had to allow him to continue operating. But he's a big help and supporters, and that's that kind of put a little bit of a hiccup in our planning as well. And I would encourage anybody who supports Freedom to go support them. They make fantastic products. They make the Potmos line. They make slides and fire control groups for SIGs and all that stuff. So really, really amazing stuff. But so that kind of held us back a little bit as far as setting a concrete date. But we have a general idea, and the general idea would be somewhere around the second quarter of next year.
I just started typing as you said that. Sorry, what was the date again?
We would be looking at like the second quarter of
second quarter. Okay.
Yeah.
No, that's totally appropriate. I appreciate that. Cause it's super tough to plan these things out and getting any kind of even penciled in idea is appreciated. So I was kind of making my notes there. So I was being kind of rude there. So going back, the match started in 2020 And then that first match, no, sorry, did you say the match started in 2021?
Yeah, the very first one we had was in 2021. We started the conversation like late 2020.
Okay. And everything was weird. So I appreciate, first off, that you did it during that time of stress when everybody else most everybody else defaulted to, well, let's just ride it out or wait or we'll do what's easier, whatever. So the fact that everybody else, you know, that you didn't wait meant that it was precedent and that it was archived. So in 2021, when that first event, it was in, earlier in the year, right? It was right at the beginning of 2021.
Yeah, it was towards the beginning of the year. Yep.
And it was in Florida and it was unknown and you had Vice there. So what was that like? Is that the first time you had worked with Vice?
No, I had, I'd worked with Vice myself previously when, here in Colorado, we tried to change the laws, to allow potheads to be able to carry pew pews. So we were probably the first organization or company that was trying to push the legislation changed. This was back in 2012, if I'm not mistaken, when we were trying to basically just get people who partake in the product of the marijuana to be treated like people that drink alcohol, essentially. So I had dealt with Vice at that point, and then one other time on unrelated business endeavors with him. So I had already worked with him. I had never worked with this particular reporter. And Pincus was the one that kind of showed him how to make a gun. So he was able to make his own gun, participate in the event, and kind of seeing what P80s were all about, 3D making was all about, and how it actually works versus what they had been telling their public before.
And then, I don't know, I'm just curious because Vice had been around for a while and yeah. Love them or hate them, they have a size, they have an audience, so they correct. Definitely can get the word out. Sorry, did you say the marijuana thing was in 2007?
No, that one was in 2012, if I'm not mistaken, when, we tried pushing for that here in the state of Colorado.
My ulterior thing here is when I do these interviews, I try to take notes because I do try to have biographies of Second Amendment activists. So try to, you know, offer actual awareness of what all you've accomplished. I think that's a great, well, I had mentioned before the interview, I'm trying not to get off in tangents, but I think that marijuana and guns is one of those issues that, again, depending on how federal laws go, but the way things are trending state-wise, can't be ignored. It's the same as suicide and it's the same as veterans issues. It's a lot of issues that are right now just not on the playing field.
Yeah.
That one can't go too long without.
So I just Googled one of the articles and it was 2014. Sorry.
Oh, that's okay. Perfect. Thanks. So then, but working with Vice, I've always heard of it or thought of it or kind of associated with kind of like working with a snake or with a poison, you know, some kind of venomous creature that has no real method or soul. It's just sometimes it's on your side and it looks cool. And sometimes it hates you and it bites you. Right. So is it like that or is it not that bad?
So here's how I've always seen media in general. I know what we're getting into. I understand, what they can do. I understand the editing. So the way I approach it more than anything else is I don't say anything stupid for them to edit. I think a lot of the times people say some really stupid shit, right? You see,
just talking too freely with them.
You see Rudy Giuliani, caught in a really compromised position by Borat, right? Like, Sasha got him. I mean, he had him with his pants down and making it look a certain way. Well, Rudy should have known better than to be doing stupid shit like that. And it happened to some gun owners, unfortunately, some gun store owners where they went in and they Sasha, as the character of Borat, was interviewing them and they were saying a lot of stupid shit. I think he did some training with him and he got the dude to say, I'm going to bite the penis off of the infidels, like all kinds of weird shit, right? Like if you do stuff like that, then man, it's easy for Vice to cut it up and slice it up and edit it and sell it to their public as gun owners just being morons. But if gun owners are just smart about what they say and how they say it, you really don't give them anything to edit out. A lot of the traditional media training that a lot of people get is also just sticking to talking points, and that also can look bad, right? So I when I do media training, because that's part of what we do on occasions, is provide training for instructors on media and press releases, and it's teaching them how to take control over the narrative. And a big part of it is just being intelligent in what you say and how you say it. You could be silly all you want on your own, in your own podcast, your own platforms, but when you're presenting it to Newsy, when you're presenting it to Vice, you have to present the intelligent side of it. So I've never been afraid of it. I've never been afraid of them doing something that wasn't approved by me or what have you, because I don't give them anything to edit. I don't give them anything silly to edit. Unfortunately, you see a lot of gun people that will get up there and they'll start talking very quickly about how the Russians are going to come over and kill us all. And obviously, when you say stuff like that, like it presents a certain image. And that's sometimes what they want. Sometimes we have to tell them, edit it out. And if you have a good relationship with the reporter, then they'll kind of do what you ask them, just so that they can continue working with you.
Right on. I appreciate that. You mentioned a couple of things there. I'm going to assume that's part of the kind of Guns for Everyone national project to kind of assist or coach QA media.
Yeah, absolutely.
So I guess that created another question, and then I'm going to go to another big facet that I don't want to not address, because I think it's something that potentially is our largest untapped resource. And that's, Hispanic gun culture.
So
or whatever.
Before so, I'm going to veer off a little bit, if you don't mind.
Oh yeah. Yeah. Perfect.
Want to answer, Creek Kochi, whatever the fuck that is. His comment. No, my wife allows me to have sex with other women. I do not. That's not something that she's into. So when he says no bullshit, go look it up. That's not the way it works. We talk about it heavily in our podcast about that stuff. So I just wanted to clarify that before my wife is looked at in a certain light, which is completely untrue.
Right on. Yeah, we deleted all that stuff because that was, I'm assuming, somebody trying to distract from
that's what I bring all the time. Like every single time, it's just like, I can't have a podcast where there's no controversy and there's no.
Well, for one, I appreciate you just doing whatever you want to do, because it's fake when everybody's just doing some script and it's not necessary, right? But on the other hand, that's just the nature, but it's also something that, you know, we don't have to be hindered by, right? I mean, it's the same as getting mud when you drive through the dirt, right? You wash off the car and you keep going. I think Alan Gottlieb and was it Pratt's dad, Eric Pratt's dad, I think they both spoke Spanish fluently, but you're about the only one out there now that's doing any kind of media with, all the media that's in Spanish language. I'm assuming there's a whole bunch of them, because of depending on if it's, I mean, I can't even imagine with all the news that's come up, whatever news of the day. And if you're one of the few, or maybe the only person who's able to and makes yourself available, I want to give you some chance to talk about that aspect. And then without going on too big a tangent, you know, the why behind it, and then the concept, you know, what kind of results have you had? And then, even though this isn't that kind of, I'm trying not to make it that kind of interview, I'll eventually ask you, you know, what can we do to increase that, amplify that aspect? Correct. Again, I think that's one of the largest untapped resources we've got as a nation, is just to start realizing that people that come here are just the recent wave of people that come here. This whole country came here from different ways, right? So anyway, so being comfortable, competent, willing, able, and you've already, become a resource in Espanol for the gun culture.
Yeah, and a lot of that just has to do with the fact that it's vanity, right? So I wish I was lying, but a big driving force behind that initially was just plain and simple vanity. I love being on TV. I love when people recognize me. So that's honestly a big driving force in me wanting to drive that attention initially. And then also, I'm a businessman. I don't shy away from the fact that I am a businessman, and I like to use the media to kind of leverage the narrative as well. I've ran for office, so I kind of learned a little bit about how to leverage the media, although I don't like the way the politicians do it. So I veered away from that and took advice from other avenues. And I started kind of just using it to our advantages. And I started quickly noticing that all of the people that kept saying no, 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 no. And that's why a lot of them would call me. Cause they're like, well, we had a guy, but he said no. We had a lady, but she said no. And this is after having conversations with the reporters, and I would tell the reporters, you call me
because Andy. Of the topic, they said no.
Yeah. Well, and it's just, and a lot of people are just afraid of, just talking to the media, period. Right. They're afraid, of just like you mentioned, getting bitten by that snake. And I wasn't afraid. I was just like, no, let's do this. I would welcome them. I would make myself available. And it didn't matter what time. It didn't matter what time zone. I would wake up at 3 a.m. to do CNN and do Fox News and do that stuff. But I just made myself available. And then there was an untapped market in the Spanish media here in the state of Colorado. So I started talking to them and became really good friends with one of the producers and one of the reporters. And because of my willingness to speak and obviously the knowledge on the topic, he grew in the company with Univision, and he started getting me on national. He started getting me on media in Mexico. And it's always mainly because you're available. You're always there. You always say, yeah, you're not afraid. And that's the biggest complaint, is just people just won't do it because they're afraid of what they're going to say, which goes back to what I said before, is if you don't give them anything stupid to talk about, then they have nothing to edit. If you're intelligent, what you say and how respond, then they have absolutely nothing to edit. And then the other thing is just the value in the other side seeing an intelligent point of view, or what I like to believe anyways, an intelligent point of view. That's subjective, I guess. But an intelligent point of view, as opposed to your traditional Mr. NRA FUD, who's talking about 45 is going to kill everyone type stuff. Two world wars and shit like that. So it's also me not wanting the bad message to get out there to human beings that may not agree with us or are indifferent about us and just want to hear both sides. So that was a big part of it. In the growth is just being consistent with these people and becoming friends with these people. A lot of these reporters and producers are now my friends. And we've hung out together, and if I ask them to redo a take or redo an interview, they'll redo it. And a lot of it is just because we've grown to have respect for each other, even though we may not agree with each other.
Well, that's what I was going to ask, is if the national, if the international, if the, I'm assuming there's like Colorado Spanish speaking that's still talking about local Colorado news, right? So if all these different media types, are they of a mindset and then they become media types, or are they all different, you know, whatever, and then they all have their different opinions about guns, or are they all kind of uniform in their, you know,
You know, most of them, when you first meet them, they're just there to do the story. And then by the second time you've talked to them and met them, then they kind of start to ask you more questions off camera, off the record, and then they kind of give you their point of view, and then you just talk a little bit about your point of view and agree and maybe don't agree, which is fine. And but it quickly turns into, oh, where are you from? Oh, I'm from Mexico. Where are you from? And it quickly turns into something else that's irrelevant to guns. And you start talking about the similarities very quickly. And that's really where the friendship kind of comes from, is we understand our positions. Every single one of them I invite to go shoot and shoot guns, and so that they can either make a story out of it and share their experiences with guns. Some have taken me up on it just on a friendly side while they're doing stories, and others haven't. But that's usually how we approach it. And then there's some that I only meet once, right? When we did stories with the German paper Der Spiegel, which is kind of like New York Times out in Germany. We've done a couple stories with them, but it's been with separate reporters every time. With them, you only have maybe 6 hours to work with. So most of the times it's just all business. They ask you questions repeatedly, and it's enough to get the story and the video that they need to get and all that stuff. So it definitely depends. With Chinese media, we really didn't get to become friends or anything like that, because there's a big language barrier, or you're speaking through apps, or you're speaking through an interpreter, and it's the time's just not there. But overall, it's just, I try my best to make myself available to them, and then if possible become friendly with them, so that we can have our stories and our voices heard a lot more, versus being that culture that never wants to talk to the media, because then they never want to do stories about us, and then they don't do stories about us, and we don't have our side heard, and then when we don't have our side heard, we bitch about it. And then it's just this weird cycle. And then
that's how they marginalize us, right? Or that's how they create the narratives about us.
Correct.
So I think that's one of the things, too, that, like you say, even if you, it's interesting. I appreciate that, because it kind of is what I suspected, but that enforces that, you know, everybody's kind of the same, and that some people have a real hard opinion about stuff, but most people probably could care less. It seems like from most of the gun people I know that have talked about interacting with media, that most media has been, you know, approachable, sometimes even open-minded enough to really understand gun owners. So that's what I was going to say, is I think there's a real value there that, like you said, even if you're not going to agree, you can quickly agree to disagree, find all these other things that you have in common, and that understanding that the Second Amendment and gun ownership is just one of the facets of our lives is something that they don't realize. When they're marginalized gun owners, they typically make it look like we fetishize violence, or, you know, above all else, our rights, or some weird thing. And, you know, just in a weird way. And this is letting them know that, hey, we're regular. We're just never going to agree on that. The same way we might never agree on, I don't know, you know, the way we're going to change our tires or make our
Soda
pop or something, right?
Yeah, there's I don't listen to this podcast, but they put out a lot of good information in regards to talking to the media, and a lot of the key points that I take from them or a lot of the key points that I've received has been from them. Again, I've never listened to a show completely, but I've heard snippets about this, and Isaac's big on this, who's my business partner. But it's the No Agenda show has a really good take on how to deal with media, and how to evade their the questions that they ask. Is it Smeggy 42 on here, that they know how to push buttons, and some of them do know how to say the stuff, and get you to say some weird stuff, but they have a really good techniques, because they've been in media for a while. They have really good techniques on how to evade those and how to deal with that stuff. And one question that has saved me many times from stuff like that is very easily, and it's not a question, I'm sorry, it's really more of a phrasing, right? Like you're asking the wrong question. What you should be asking is, and then you answer your own question to answer your what they really should be asking. And for example, is, oh, what legislation should we have? Well, you're asking the wrong question. The question you should be asking is, should the government have control over my freedom? So small stuff like that that can very quickly throw the reporter off guard and switch the conversation into something else. So there's a lot of tricks that we can use as well to make it favorable for us. And also at the same time, we sound intelligent because we came in prepared and we don't get caught off guard. If anything, we're the ones that caught off the reporter on time. Jordan Peterson is really good at doing this, whether he knows it or not. You see him a lot of the times having conversations with reporters and he answers in such an eloquent way, in a very thoughtful way, that the reporter really doesn't know what to say. So a lot of times you'll see the reporter kind of just speechless, like doesn't know where to go from this stuff. So that's important to all that stuff. But also I go back to what I keep saying, is just like it's not a bad idea to be friendly with these humans that, like you mentioned, maybe really don't care that much about R2A, and they're just there to do a job and do a story, and that's what they told them to go do. And a lot of these reporters come with pre-made questions, right? They don't even ask the questions. It's the producers that want the questions asked. They're just there to be the camera people. So there's a lot of nuance to it, and there's a lot of technique behind it, and I understand why people get afraid of it, but we need it. We 100% need that narrative and that side to have this conversation so that we can continue preaching the two-way gospel.
I'd say it's a skill set, right? Like you can shoot a revolver, you can shoot a rifle, you can shoot a shotgun. They all Absolutely. Are different. Some people like having all of them. Some people will only have one or a couple, right? But some people can work with media, some ain't. Some will do it good and some will do it in a weird way. But it's something that, yeah, if we neglect it, then even those people that are ambivalent are only going to get the message from the other side. So we're leaving money on the table, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
So without, like I said, I definitely could go in a couple of directions with a bunch of the stuff that we've talked about today. I appreciate your time. I want to try to keep it around an hour. So I do have a couple of questions that I try to ask everybody. The easy one is, do you have any book recommendations?
Man, I'm the worst person to ask this shit. I don't do well with reading. So no, the short answer for me is absolutely not.
Then I hear that because I listen to an audiobook once in a while, and once in a while I'm surprised. But so is there something that you would recommend? You recommended the No Agenda show has some stuff that has to deal with the approaches to dealing with media. That's a podcast. But is there anything that, as far as Second Amendment activism goes, if someone were to say, what could I watch, listen to, experience, attend, what would be a 2A recommendation?
My recommendation every single time is just do it, right? Like a lot of people want to know who to follow and all that stuff. It is... If you haven't found somebody already in 2022, somebody to follow and attach yourself to, then maybe there's some sort of lack in your community. And I'm not saying this is completely true, right? This isn't 100% true, but it's pretty easy to find this information out there. I would say you become the human being that we could all look up to. That was part of my speech out in DC, is just, doesn't matter what I do. It doesn't matter what all of these quote unquote 2A celebrities or leaders do if you're not doing anything. So that's my ultimate goal is so that more people get involved in the community. More people are not just sitting on the sidelines listening to other people talk about how awesome 2A activism is, but actually experiencing the 2A activism. Many people are afraid to kind of join because work and time, and they might get it wrong or whatever. And the goal is always slow progression instead of delayed perfection. And that's what people want, is just delay until we can do it very perfectly. And I'm all about just improving a little bit at a time, even if it takes a while. At least I'm improving. So that would be my biggest thing, as far as people to listen to and to learn from. There's a lot of humans. There's Maj Touré with Black Guns Matter. He has a lot of good stuff to say. Spike Cohen, the Libertarian presidential candidate from last election. Is it Cohen? Now I'm doubting myself. Spike, if you look him up, Libertarian Spike, he has a lot of amazing stuff to say. The polarizing Rob Pincus is also somebody to kind of really listen to the nuance that he has to say. Whether you agree with it 100% or not, like he has a lot of points that deserve more attention instead of people just taking one quick little note and then pretending that he said something that was not true. So there's a lot of humans out there that have a lot of good information, but ultimately I think as far as activism, it can't be activism if you're not active in it. If you are just watching other people be active, then you're just a viewer. So my biggest thing is to encourage people to not be afraid to do something. Well, what could we do? I don't know. Call people, yell at politicians, set up range time with people that don't know how to shoot or are afraid of guns. Or one of the projects that we're kind of working on is one of the projects that we're working on is a program called Armed Friends. And this is the idea. It's not an original idea, but it exists in small pockets. But this idea is having friends that don't shoot, take them to the range once a month, try and get them a free range day at a local range, and take as many as you can, make it a group event. And that's being active in the Second Amendment. That's doing fun shit that involves guns, and it promotes the Second Amendment. Take your friends that don't shoot, take them shooting. Writing an article for an obscure newspaper called Guns for Everyone Gazette, right? The Guns for Everyone Gazette. So, or create your own newspaper in your own little neighborhood. You only got to put it out every week, every month. You can put it out every year. Shit. It's you being active. The more we are all active, the more efficient we are, the more ideas come out here. One of the things that made the Gun Makers Match so amazing is the amount of humans that just came out of their little rock and started sharing ideas and designs, and that's just incredible to see, is how humans can actually work together. And I think that's what we need more of, is more challenging and more improvement in the Second Amendment. That was kind of I got in trouble last year, and I pissed off a lot of people because I said the Second Amendment is essentially stagnant, because we're just stuck with the old guard, right? We're just stuck with little cliques. And if you hurt their feelings and if you challenge them, then they get pissed off. But a lot of that has to do is just, there's just no fresh blood. There's no newness. It's basically, we do the same shit every single year. And then we pat ourselves on the back and pretend like we actually accomplished something. But when in reality, the people that are fucking making a change is the Dick Hallers, right? Nobody really talks about Dick Haller as much as they should be talking about the level of pushback that he has done here in the state of Colorado. We've got a couple people that have chosen to put their name on lawsuits Like, these are the unsung heroes that nobody really talks about. They're not going to invite on the podcast. They're not going to invite to the cookout. They're not going to invite to the speeches and to the galas and the SHOT shows and shit like that. But if you look at lawsuits, there's a name attached to that. That means that person got fucking charged with something and suffered financially and suffered with them getting arrested or getting a ticket or going to jail, and then decided to fight the system, and maybe with the help of FPC or whatever. But ultimately, it was one human that decided to challenge the system through civil disobedience or some other means. I mean, that's being active. I'm not saying go get arrested and shit. I'm just saying there's a lot of other ways that we ourselves, the populace, can do it. Without always relying on other human beings to do it. And by the way, you get to talk about what you did and inspire other humans and maybe challenge me to look at shit differently. This whole armed friends thing happened from a student. The student said, hey, how come we don't have this shit where here in Colorado where you take your friend shooting? And I'm like, I'm an idiot. Like, that's such a simple fucking idea. I'm probably going to make him head it up and we're going to promote it for him and stuff like that. But I mean, that wasn't Isaac. That wasn't Pincus that said that. That wasn't your Mr. Activist or Mrs. Activist in the Second Amendment. It was a student at a freaking Hill Carry class that made a challenge. Why don't we have this program? And then my challenge to him, motherfucker, you got to do it yourself. We will help you. But like, you challenge us, you're right, but we're going to challenge you to kind of head it up as long as we make it successful and we provide the marketing and all that stuff. So I think that's what we need more of, as opposed to clinging to any one particular person or book or ideology or old guard or all that stuff. Because then that creates cliques, man. That's one of the things I hate is cliques. And I only support my people, and I only support the views that I believe in, and that's wrong. If they're doing good jobs, you ain't got to like them, but if they're doing a good job, we ought to support the good job that they're doing. Set egos aside and make it about the Second Amendment, not make it about you.
That's interesting. I never heard it put that way. So appreciate that answer for one, because yeah, I mean, everybody just normally answers the question, you know, with whatever, you know, book maybe they've been reading or that they read on the regular or something. So I appreciate that, because that's about the best answer really, is to value your voice and be right, because that's what it's all about anyways. It's, I don't know, it's sort of like playing baseball, watching baseball, playing the guitar, watching somebody play guitar. Once you start being an activist, it's just a, you know, more immersive or whatever, and you start to figure out all that stuff that you just mentioned there. So I'd love that answer. But the idea that I would say, I kind of summed it up as doctrine created the cliques. Like, so somebody reads a book, somebody gets instruction from somebody they admire or respect, and now that's the way you hold your gun. Everybody else is challenging that, right? Like, say, ego and whatnot. So I never really put it to, like, or thought of it that way, that creates those initial rifts, and then people double down on that. Not enough people are willing to say, hey, let's, you know, who cares? I don't salt my meat the same as you. I don't butter my bread the same as you. Who cares? Who gets into petty arguments about the knife you use to butter your bread or whatever? So it's.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, there's some circumstances where it is what it is, and the fact is the fact, right? And science proves one thing or another, but when it comes to actual activism, people ask me that a lot. What can I do to get involved? Just get involved. You're gonna find your passion very quickly in all this stuff, and the stuff that you're good at, and the stuff that you're effective and efficient with. So the only way you figure that out is by doing it, right? Like, it's kind of like my kids. I want to help my kids as much as I can, but if they don't start doing shit on their own, they see very quickly that they suffer, because I do everything for them. They rely on me. So the best thing we could do is just do it ourselves. Eventually, we get to the point where we know how to promote our ideas, promote our successes, promote how it worked, our journey, and inspire other human beings to do that as shit. So that's my favorite thing to do, is just create a way for other humans to be able to do whatever it is they feel is lacking in the second community. Because somebody comes up to me and says, hey, I don't see this happening. One, maybe it's happening, but they're doing a shitty job at marketing it. So obviously this person's seeing it, and I direct them there, and maybe they work together, or they say, no, I could do better with this stuff. And then now you're challenging another human being to be better. And that's the other thing that I hate about the industry. I think it happens everywhere, but obviously I'm immersed in the Second Amendment, so I see it a lot more here, is this fear of this competition of like, oh, that person's taking my thing away. It's not yours. The Second Amendment isn't mine. It's not, it doesn't belong to Guns for Everyone. It doesn't belong to my friends. It belongs to the people. It belongs to humans that want to defend themselves. So it's always silly when people sit there and like, oh, I thought about this first, and I thought about the Gundys first, and those motherfuckers took it away from me, but like they did it better. And so like I can't be mad at the fact that I fucked up and didn't promote it as good as I wanted to the Gundys, and some assholes took it from me. But they did it better, and all I can sit here and is like,
well, how about louder?
Like, yeah, yeah. They were louder, but yeah.
I dig the part where you said, if you haven't found it yet, make it. So if you haven't found what you're looking for, I think that's another awesome part of the internet, and sounds like a part of your time on the clock also, is that you're not satisfied with what's there, create it, or at least support the saplings that are out there that at least are closer to what you have in mind or what you need.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
So then my last question for the night, and then I don't think I missed it. There wasn't a bunch of questions coming in, so I've been kind of ignoring everybody out there. So thanks, everybody, for letting me ignore you tonight. I always like to make this first interview about the guest and give them a chance to just chat about their whys. And we didn't really get too much into the hows, but I think you also did. So hopefully this won't be the last time we chat, and maybe we can talk more in depth on some of the how to, because I think that you, more than some of the other folks I know, even are probably are interested in coaching and getting the information out there for others to be activists. And I know that Colorado has had lots of you. I know there'd be, I don't want to get into tangents, but I know you probably have way more insight on this. But I've heard lots of, I'm going to say fits and starts, like lots of attempts, but I've never seen the conclusions of these like 2A activist resources that were going to come out of Colorado. And Colorado's got its whole like history of, you guys get pummeled and then you get people that come along and help. And then a whole bunch of people come along and put a sign in the help and say, we helped, we helped, we helped, and make a bunch of money doing it. Just a crazy state as far as that kind of stuff goes. But without getting in all those tangents, my question I've been trying to ask everybody who's kind of been in the game for a bit, something happens this year and everybody gets together and they decide we're going to make a 5-star general of 2A. They're going to have all the resources at their command, right? All the activists, all the organizations, all the projects and campaigns that exist, or the potentials that they've got, are under the command of one person, just so that we can, you know, have an actual game plan. And then they give you the reins. What would you do for the next 5 years or whatever? What would be your game plan with the resources we have today? What would be the most effective way to a goal? And what, I guess I leave it open to, what would the goal be with that power and with that influence?
For me, it's very simple. And that is quit approaching the echo chamber and start talking to the people that are warm about the Second Amendment, right? It's hard to go approach the people who are super cold about guns. But for me, it's always about growing the Second Amendment. You can't grow the Second Amendment at SHOT Show. You cannot grow the Second Amendment at every other gun expo that's out there. The people that like guns are already there. So if I did have enough power to voice this a lot, it just, and it's been said, I'm not the only one that says it, fortunately, but I don't think it gets heard enough. I don't think enough people actually do it. Advocacy is done outside of the industry. And I think that's what we need to focus on a lot more. One of the things that Guns for Everyone has always done is we've never been loyal to a party. We've never been loyal to a person. We've been loyal to the Second Amendment. We're not afraid of being vocal about any particular orange politician who is not pro-gun, only plays one on TV. And we're not afraid of calling out the Dementia Man, who's also anti-gun, right? So, and I think a lot of people that are outside of the Second Amendment community appreciate that. In fact, that's one of the biggest compliments we get almost every single time is when I seen Free and when I was registering for the class or when I heard about your group, I was super duper afraid because I thought it was just going to be like every other organization. And it's refreshing that this is more about the guns and the freedom and self-defense than it is about throw your money into one particular party. So as a consequence, we get a lot of people who sit in our chairs, and when we ask them, why are you here? They're just like, I don't know, I just want the information. I don't like guns. I don't own guns. I don't even know if I'm ever going to own a gun, but I want to know more about it. I want to know more about why you like guns and why these people like guns. And I just want to be better informed. And the class is free, so there's no barrier to them coming in, sitting in on a class and getting that information and getting to know gun owners for who they really are as opposed to what the media paints them out to be. And so I would grow that a lot more, and I'd figure out how to get more of those human beings inside of classes, not just our classes, but other classes. Because that's ultimately what we need to do is we need to turn the Democrats into gun-loving Democrats. Without getting too political about that shit, but I mean, that's ultimately what we need to do is get more homies on that side to push their politicians to be pro-2A. That's how we solve that issue. A lot of the times what we see is we're just so protective about the Second Amendment, and it's only for Republicans, and it's only for conservatives, and it's only for people who hate this, and it's only for people that are for this, and nope, it's for people who believe in freedom. That's who the Second Amendment is for, and if you believe in freedom, then obviously you'll understand what the Second Amendment is all about. There are some human beings that I have met that I will 100% say, like, they will never understand the Second Amendment, and that's ultimately the people that I can't focus the attention on, right? They're not, I'm not gonna say low-hanging fruit, but like, I'm okay with climbing a ladder a little bit and getting the ripe shit that's up top as well. And I think what the Second Amendment industry has done, and I'm talking about the industry, not even the community, but the industry, what they've done is they've taught us to just go for the low-hanging fruit, which is that shit's easy. Sometimes we gotta climb a ladder. I'm Mexican, so I know about picking fruit. Sometimes you gotta get up there and shake the tree a little bit and get the ones that are up top. And that's what we miss out on the Second Amendment, is just this fear of, well, if we let the Democrats in, this is gonna happen. Unfortunately, we're being stagnant and we're not growing. The way we become better is if we get different minds in there and we get different views and we get different philosophies and all that stuff. In business, a lot of the times it's the new generation that that makes things better and not the older generation. A lot of people like to look at the old person full of wisdom, and that might be true, but the ideas are old as well, antiquated. Sometimes we need a new perspective on how to approach it. So if I did have that power, that money, I'd focus a lot of this stuff on advocating outside of the Second Amendment community and outside of the Second Amendment industry. That's all I had to say, but I don't know why I went on a tangent to say that.
Well, because I leave it open. That's the whole goal. No, I appreciate that. That's otherwise, I don't want to ask a yes or no. And then
absolutely.
No, I dig that because again, that's people go, oh well, you know, there's all the gun owners exist, and I think the perception is that it's sort of like in the elections where everybody thinks that 100% of people vote and half the people like this and half the people are 60%. In reality, it's more like 60% of the people vote. 40% of the people don't even care, right? Yeah. So people think, oh, well, all the gun owners are already done and accounted for. But in reality, how many gun owners are there? Like maybe millions in a country of 300 million. So there's so many other people that aren't in the gun community, and how do they know they're not in the gun community? Because it's like you're saying, I dig that answer where you can use the resources to, instead of doubling down on any specific blah 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 that we've done, which obviously hasn't worked, use the resources all to reach out. Imagine if just every organization, every entity out there put 10% of their effort into outreach, because a lot of them don't bother at all. Or outreach to really reach out and not just find more, you know, specifically market to more of the same, but reach out, then the influence. I think you're kind of going towards that like whole capitalism thing too. Like when, if we can be reverent and understanding of like how difficult it was to go from horses to Model T Fords, and the whole thing about industrialization and all that was super cool. It had its bad points, it had its good points, but nobody wants to drive around a Model T car. Right. Everybody appreciates the evolution since then. Same thing with 2A, right? Like,
correct.
We had to get it started. We got it to here, but this ain't the end of it. And it did, yeah. So appreciate all the answers. I guess just to end it then, and to give people some time, I'm going to flip on my camera here. Oops, what did I do? Yeah, I flipped this on and I flipped this off. So I've got a thing going. YouTube gives us the ability to do, well, actually StreamYard gives us the ability to do a giveaway. So a random pick, I guess, is the way to say it. So if you type in you don't even have to put hashtag, but type in guns for everyone without spaces, the same way that a bunch of people have already done it, we can do a random giveaway, and it'll be one of the guns for everyone patches, which, I mean, I'm a patch person and I've got a few patches. Definitely one of my favorites. The yellow pops. The pattern itself is awesome. The AK is prominent. And it gets you looking at what's going on here. Guns for Everyone. It's got the .com on it, which nobody bothers with ever. And everything about it, when it's on a patch panel, it doesn't get lost. The yellow border and everything, your eyes go right to it. And you're looking at it. It's telling a story. It's giving you a question mark. They're freaking well made. How come you're only charging $10 for these? I would expect you to be charging at least $15, you know, closer to $20. But in any case, somebody's going to get one tonight. Can you give us the story on the patches? I'm a patch guy, so I got to know as much as I can.
The story on the patches is basically people just asked us for patches. We're horrible at presenting merchandise. That's one side of the marketing where I'm not very good at is the merchandise stuff. So people just kept asking for patches, and somebody approached us, said they can make us some patches. So we decided, just no pun intended, pull the trigger on it and provide these. Now, as far as the logo is actually our very first real logo that we had. Before, we would just have a gun and throw some words under it that said guns for everyone. Isaac's brother decided to pay somebody on one of the Fiverr-like places, and then this is
they created. So you knew what they were doing then, so it's not like napkin sketch given to the patch places.
Correct.
Napkin sketch given to a graphics guy.
And the luchador, the whole mask thing is when guns first started, there's a character out there by the name of Juanabe the Luchador, He was kind of the main character of Guns for Everyone at the beginning. So that's why the mask.
Was that from like the podcast or is that from real life? Like there's actually a luchador, not name that.
There is an actual human. His name is Juan Avila Luchador. I'll just leave it there. And he used to do a bunch of gun reviews as a parody.
Gotcha. Okay. Yeah. Right on. So then we got six people now. So we've given everybody enough time. And if you want to grab one, I'm going to go in the description of this video. You'll find a link to, actually, I don't have the link. I got the concealed carry for free. That takes them to guns, or no, it doesn't. So we're going to take you to Guns for Everyone website, where you got the patches at.
Correct.
I'll put that link in the description. But if you go to gear, they've got a whole bunch of t-shirts. And I'm guessing the t-shirts hopefully give you more resource for the three classes.
Correct.
A bunch of different colors and stuff, this logo and some others. And then the patch here is like $10. So I'm going to put that link in here for anybody that wants to just go grab one. It looks like it gave people enough time to get 10 entries. So that was definitely a jump. If anybody needs more time, you should have just typed in the hashtag instead of saying you need more time. So now I will click the button. This kept it right around 90 minutes. So again, I appreciate it. I say all over the place, it's going to be an hour, and then it almost always goes to about 90. If I'm not paying attention, we've gone much longer. Well, I hope I don't win. Okay, good. Yeah, DJ won. Okay, so DJ Play Night's been helping out in our chats and in lots of other people's chats, dropping links. And I just want to say, if anybody is out there doing any kind of live broadcasts or stuff with StreamYard or doing stuff online with YouTube, I would highly recommend you can trust DJ as a moderator. He does a good job in lots of people's chats, dropping links when appropriate to whatever the topic of discussion is, helping get rid of the spam bots and stuff like that. It's always nice to have someone on your team over in the YouTube chats, and DJ Play Nice is a great ally. You can definitely be comfortable giving him a wrench. All you have to do is click on the little three dots.
He supports a lot of people too.
He does. I call him the 2A roadie. He's always helping out people behind the scenes. Man. Okay, so with that, we did have a poll going over on the YouTube side for the people that have been joining live. I do broadcast this on two YouTube channels and Twitch, so this poll was only on the big YouTube channel. But which was your favorite of the projects that I was able to list? I can only put four in here. We had the free CCW classes, the CCW instructor development, the printed 2A newspaper for gun shops, or the 3D printed and built gun competitions. Those all came in third or second, I guess, with CCW classes winning overall. Let's just end it with featuring that again. Is that right? 100,000 CCW student?
Yeah, 100,000 students since 2012 in the state of Colorado. A big chunk of the concealed carry holders here in the state, largest handgun training company in the state of Colorado. And that's kind of our main thing is the free CCWs. And again, we just want this to, one, it's a protest, it's an activism, but we also want to make this as accessible as possible to as many human beings as want to. We often get the question like, do you really think everybody should have a gun? Ultimately, what we believe is kind of like kids is I don't think everybody should have kids, but the government should not decide who gets to have kids and who doesn't have kids. I think that could be done in different ways without government intervention, without government involvement, through education. And the more education we have out there, the better off we are as a community, as Second Amendment. So, the free concealed carry class, and we're able to do that because of donations. So we do sell the merchandise and stuff like that, because that's a good motivator for people to essentially sponsor a class. That's how we're able to continue this stuff. Even recently, we started to rethink the way we we ask for donations because you're not really donating, right? So a lot of people think, oh, my donations are going to go to buy a, especially now after the NRA, it's going to go buy a yacht, it's going to go buy a machine gun collection. And really what you're doing is you're sponsoring students, you're sponsoring a class. So yeah, absolutely. When you buy all of our merchandise is really so that we can pay the rent and we can print certificates and replace chairs when unfortunately they break and all that stuff. So it really goes back to sponsoring the students. But yeah, 100,000 students in the state of Colorado. In October, I'll be in Philadelphia doing a free concealed carry class. I'll be doing that in Spanish. In late October, I'll be down in Mexico, in Guadalajara. We'll be providing some training down there as well. So this is expanding. This is not only, I'll be doing that with Pincus. It's not a free concealed carry class. It's a live fire stuff. But all that to say is we're not just growing nationally, but hopefully we get to grow this internationally as well.
And that's an amazing export that the United States has to offer, our gun culture and our education and our, I don't know what to call that, like, but technical competence and the ability to translate a martial skill to civilians and create a pretty decent, safe society with it.
Yeah, absolutely.
So awesome. And again, this hopefully this isn't the last time we chat, but I do want to keep it hopefully somehow consumable for people that don't like listening to marathon sessions. But appreciate your time. The links are in the description. I've taken some notes and I'll be putting those over on the Substack. It's my goal so that they're sort of not necessarily just a narration of what we talked about, but basically bullet points. I'm not an expert note taker or anything, but effectively a way to kind of go back. It's not quite timestamps, but if you wanted to go back and if you heard something that Edgar talked about and you wanted to make sure that it was in this episode, I'll try to put it into the description of the YouTube video. There's just not enough characters there typically, so I'll create a Substack post for this. And I mentioned to Edgar off here that what I'm going to attempt to do each month is take the or invite the people that I've had my Monday interviews with to, and then just invite them all together to have sort of a random get together of activists to just have no topic other than to meet and chat for an hour. And you know, if I can get others to agree to that, then you know, we'll figure out a time and look forward to that. But hopefully if you've got the ability to jump in on these chats, I'd like to invite you back to talk about some of the more specific things that I didn't want to take off on tangents tonight.
No, I appreciate this. And before we're off publicly, I want to say how incredible it is that you are keeping a log and a history about all of this stuff. And I'm not just saying that because I'm included in this, but that's a big thing in the activism and what we lack is people understanding the history of all kinds of stuff, right? All kinds of programs, all kinds of activists and that's a lot of time, commitment there. And I always appreciate that stuff. Somebody who appreciates understanding where things come from and how they evolved and how they became and whether it be the four rules or the 21 four rule and stuff like that. Like it's super important for us to maintain that history and understand the history of the 2A, cause that's how we're able to learn from mistakes and that's how we're able to get better. So the fact that you collect this data, how the fuck you have the patience for that stuff, I have no clue, but I appreciate that you do and provide this information for us. It's incredible.
Right on. Well, thank you for that recognition or that the praise there. But the way I keep motivated is because this is the first step. The way I see it is I agree with you 100%. We just need to know this stuff because it's just not written down in bullet points so we can deal with it. Once we know the timelines and the maps and the visualizations of where we came from, we can start to understand the bigger picture. And then we hack this whole thing. This is unawareness and ignorance. Not like people are ignorant. They're just not familiar with our culture and they're not familiar with our tools and our everything, right? We're speaking to the choir here. So we've got unawareness and they're using that against us. But we've got yourself and your projects. We've got the DC project. We've got, I mean, I could go on and on. People who are listening to this know we've got successes, so we can hack this. We just have to divert resources to the right place. Like you said, divert resources to the next and the new, and allow the next to learn from us. And that's how we hack this thing. We create a logarithm, or a, I don't know what to call it, but you know, we create a method or a system that we can hand down to the next generation. And that just starts with understanding where we're at efficiently, right? So that's how I do it. It's fascinating. I get to talk to people like yourselves and get to emphasize this, the accomplishments of what people like yourselves have done. And I look forward to the next is so much faster than us, right? So once we've got this stuff, we can put it on a platter for them. I want to see what they create with the with these elements.
That's awesome.
So, yeah, I appreciate it. So we'll talk again. Thanks everybody for showing up. I'm only able to do this through subscribers. So there's a link down at the bottom there that's been scrolling. It says, thanks to our Patreons, the people that subscribe each month to the projects that we do. So some people, about 148 people, a couple of people had to drop off. You know, I understand that. They're throwing us a cup of coffee each month, sometimes a lunch, you know, $25 or less each month. And that adds up. It allows us to divert, you know, to pay our time, our attention to stuff like this without trying to make it buy something with an optic on it or a new grip angle or the new color of whatever's coming out. And I believe that crowdfunding and crowd participation is the future of all of this, right? Yeah. Decentralization and individuals understanding their value. And with the technology and infrastructures that are being developed and the techniques and stuff, the future is awesome. So I appreciate the people that make it possible for us to do this. And we'll be back with more. I guess tomorrow we're talking about 2A in Maine. Wednesday we've got the quiz. Then we wrap everything up on Fridays. I need to come up with some better exit stuff because I feel like doing my normal junk is a little silly, so I'll just end it with Smeggy, who's been active in the chat.
Thank you for supporting our projects. If you'd like to buy us a cup of coffee, check out our Patreon channel.
The guys and gals at gunwebsites.com encourage you to take a CCW class every year, practice at least once a month, and carry every day. Thank you for watching gunwebsites.com. Do, 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 do.